Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long and Cullen Steele here till 7 o'clock. A break from training camp action today as the Saints, they're busy traveling to Arizona. I've already arrived and getting ready for that 7 o'clock kickoff right here on WWL. Tomorrow we will have pre-game action starting 3 o'clock on First Take with me and Charlie Long. 5 o'clock, the countdown, the kickoff with the Bobby Hebert and myself, also featuring NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. Game time, 7 p.m. Got to turn down that sound on your television and turn up the home team on Saints Radio. The legendary Deuce McAllister, voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will be bringing you all the action once the game is over. Join the Cajun Cannon and sound off on the point after. We've got 10 hours of wall-to-wall coverage on Saints football tomorrow, starting at 3 o'clock. We do it big even for the preseason, folks, right here on Saints Radio, WWL, AM, FM.com, and streaming on the live and always free Odyssey app. Getting into some of the games right now going on, guys. We got some preseason action underway between the Falcons and Dolphins, Texans and Steelers. Everybody's scoreless right now. And then at about 6:30, the Eagles and Ravens kick off. We'll be interested to see once we get off. At least we got some football action to tune into.
Yeah, Michael Penix is getting some early on action, too, with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, so definitely would like to see some of that.
Right, 1 of 2 start for 7 yards in this first 3-and-out drive for the Falcons. Yeah, no, absolutely. The Penix pick will always be kind of funny to reminisce on, especially if he ends up being a bust. But, I mean,
but if he doesn't.
If he doesn't, then oh boy. But, yeah, that's so if you're interested in getting the first NFL look at Michael Penix Jr. to turn into it's not actually on NFL Network. It's on NFL Plus, so.
Well, so what does that mean? Only on the app?
I guess so.
Wonder if you could then stream it on your television, or sometimes it gets blocked when I've tried to do that. Says, no, you can't, like, mirror it on your television.
Yeah. Once again, a couple of quarterback battles, potentially for backup QB spots as well. So, obviously, the Saints and Cardinals each have one, so that will be fun to watch tomorrow.
Did you get to see any of that preseason action last night? Because I did not. I missed all of it.
No, I saw a couple of highlights of
right, just like, some of the highlights.
Joe Milton threw like a 40-yard touchdown. One of my follows, someone that I follow on YouTube, was who kind of evaluates draft prospects and everything, was joking that if Joe Milton becomes a stud, that he's never going to do draft analysis again. But of course, it's the first preseason game. There's nothing there.
No, I've seen a ton of Patriots fans obviously sounding off, saying get rid of Zappe and, you know, elevate Milton on the depth chart.
How many quarterbacks do they have? No, like that's a serious. Like seriously, do they have like 5 quarterbacks?
Yeah, yesterday you saw Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Milton, and Bailey Zappe.
Wow.
Happy Zappy.
Yeah, that is a packed room.
Meanwhile, the Carolina Panthers, they didn't start Bryce Young.
Yeah,
Andy Dalton's
sense.
Dealing with an injury. And then so you just had action from Jack Plummer and Jake Luton, who used to be with
the
Saints.
Yeah, Jake Luton, right. And Jack Plummer played with the Louisville Cardinals, I think, this past year.
Yeah.
And so he's a rookie because the Cardinals, I remember, Louisville had that game against Florida State in like the ACC championship, and that was if Florida State was going to go undefeated for the regular season and have their bid for the college football playoff, but Louisville's offense could do absolutely nothing against that Florida State defense. Yeah, so that's I don't even think that's really yeah, as you mentioned, Andy Dalton's the backup in Carolina. I don't think that Luton or Plummer, yeah, maybe they're fighting for third string.
No, and they struggled once again. We've seen this team last year had a problem putting points on the board, just 3 points in the preseason, and just problems moving the football, getting the first downs. The Patriots ended up winning the game 17-3. I do know, obviously, a lot of starters weren't in, so you can't really get a gauge of the Carolina team yet. I know their first-round pick in
Xavier Leggett.
Leggett, right, is dealing with an injury right now, too, so he didn't play.
So if you're looking at just generally speaking with preseason games, like the Hall of Fame game, the Bears beating the Texans 21-17, feels like kind of on the higher scoring side of things. Like earlier, as you mentioned kind of yesterday, 17-3 and then 14-3, those two games, the Patriots and the Giants beating the Panthers and the Lions respectively. It feels like a lot of the preseason games are going to be around there, right? Because nobody's doing anything exotic or anything crazy offensively. It's a lot of very much vanilla stuff. And obviously the guys that are on the back end of the roster too. So, you're going to probably be expecting a lot of games that are around the 14 to 10, 17 to 14 type of 20 to 17 on like the higher end of things.
Like you mentioned with offense, it's just everything's very vanilla. So is the outcomes.
Correct. And that's exactly what you kind of see from preseason.
Yeah, there's never been like, you know, these big shootouts that you would think might happen in these games.
No.
Just because, like we said earlier, very vanilla in the play calling. And you're not really showing your hand to any of these other squads either.
The most surprising result for tomorrow with the Saints and Cardinals, regardless of who wins, right, would be if it was like a 38-35 type of
game.
Like something ridiculous, like a shootout, like a barn burner. It just doesn't really happen in the preseason. It's a lot of games that are, you know, in the teens, maybe early 20s, but not much more than that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out, like, if you take the under on these preseason games, how many times are you coming out ahead?
The over-unders are, like, set pretty low, too.
Gotcha. I've got those in front of me.
Okay.
There is one game over the entire weekend that has an over above 40. It is Chiefs-Jaguars. Every other game is somewhere between 34.5 and like 39.5. The Saints currently 37.5, 2-point favorite.
Right. Okay. So you're looking at like a 20-17 type of game, right? And that's kind of what you expect from
and
the
that's
preseason
fireworks,
action.
Like for preseason.
Yeah, it's like maybe even a little bit of a higher scoring one. Just look at the two games last night. Once again, 17-3 and 14-3.
Before we get into our next break with Alex Clancy checking in on those Arizona Cardinals, been teasing this Drew Brees audio talking about how he feels Taysom Hill should be used in this Saints offense. He talked to the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Mike Dettillier yesterday at the Nola Pickle Fest. Here's what Brees had to say about Taysom time in New Orleans.
Let's do this little exercise. This would be fun. You know, if we could go back in time, obviously he got here in 2017, and none of us had ever seen anything like him.
Right.
And he played a little bit of everything that year, but it wasn't until 2018 where it's like, man, we can really start to incorporate this guy at quarterback, do a lot of these, you know, QB runs or
QB power,
Yeah, or just let him launch it, right?
Yeah,
the guy can launch it.
Yeah.
I don't know why we haven't lived in a world where Taysom Hill is getting 10 to 12 snaps a game at quarterback. This is a little bit of an exercise of...
So you're saying that he should every game get that at least?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Because that puts more pressure on the defense, right? More to have to prepare for.
If you want to go and you want to chart the plays where he's in and he's playing quarterback and you just chart what the result of the play and then you match that up with the rest of the plays, I would argue that some of our most successful plays consistently are when Taysom Hill's at quarterback. Now, I'm not sitting here saying, hey, there should be a quarterback controversy.
Right.
Taysom Hill should be the start. But what I'm saying is that there is a tremendous value when he is playing quarterback. Number one, it's just you can't argue the results. The proof is in the pudding. The results show that that's when we're getting the best yard per play and these other things, and probably big play opportunities. But also for a defense, think about for a defensive coordinator, the amount of time you have to spend in a week of preparation to get your guys ready for the Taysom Hill package. Like, that's terrifying. That's terrifying. Because if you get into a game and Taysom Hill plays quarterback seven plays and just, like, wreaks havoc on you for five of those, you might get fired. So I guess what I'm saying when I said, hey, do this exercise and step back in time, like, there's never been a time in history in NFL that I can think of where you had a guy like that was literally coming in for, call it 10 plus games or plays a game at quarterback and executing that type of offense, or was that type of weapon.
Interesting stuff from Drew Brees there, obviously calling not only for, you know, the snaps for for Taysom Hill in the offense, but 10 to 12 snaps under center at the quarterback spot.
Ready for some numbers?
Yeah, hit me.
So Pro Football Focus had this. Bobby and I were talking about this last night after the show. Last year, 115 of Hill's 429 snaps came at quarterback, and those plays led to 373 of his 401 rushing yards via Pro Football Focus. And to Breeze's point about those explosive plays, I used this for a morning report earlier. He's averaged 5.4 yards per carry for his career. And despite the team averaging 3.6 yards per carry this past year, he averaged 5. So, yes, Drew is onto something here. let's get Taysom some carries here and get him those snaps. Once again, 115 snaps at quarterback last year. And I think that he was basically at a record as far as usage, right, between catching the ball, rushing the ball, and passing attempts as well, just generally speaking. And as Bobby has said before with Taysom, you're not saving him at this point. You got to use him. I mean, he's, what, now 34? He's heading into his age 34 season, Steve. So with the contract that he's on, he's a weapon for this team, but you got to make sure that you utilize them throughout the course of the season.
Very interested to see, obviously, how Clint Kubiak plans on, you know, manipulating Taysom Hill's talents in this offense, because Kubiak's a smart guy. Taysom Hill, uber talented. We know he can play just about anywhere on the field. And he hasn't had a guy, I'm sorry, in Kubiak, with all the talent that he had at San Francisco, there was not a guy like Taysom Hill, obviously, on that roster. There's nobody like Taysom Hill on anyone's roster.
That's exactly what Drew said. There hasn't been one like Taysom Hill ever. And Taysom, to circle back around to that point, he's 33 right now, but he turns 34 in 2 weeks.
Where are we drafting Taysom in fantasy leagues, guys?
No, I mean, that's an interesting question, because is he a quarterback or is he a tight end in fantasy leagues? Like, how do you kind of consider him? Because, I mean,
utility.
Right, exactly. He's a Swiss Army knife. He does everything. But, you know, getting him more snaps at quarterback, like Drew said, I mean, that could be a spark plug for this offense.
Taysom Hill will be the first designation of just athlete in fantasy football.
Yeah, no kidding. So Taysom Hill, the expectations are high for him because he had a strong year last year. Now, with more utilization of him and a new offensive scheme, can he kind of build upon that and have an even better year heading into his age 34 season? That's what you hope.
Definitely hoping for that. I don't think we'll see a lot from him, obviously, in the preseason opener. One of those guys, you know what you got in him, kind of get a few snaps, bubble wrap him, save him for week
He's
one.
He's such a physical runner.
Exactly.
So like, you don't want him to go like
use that now.
Hit it like a truck stick in the preseason, and then he hurts himself. Just save it for the regular season and let him loose once you're playing Carolina and then Dallas and stuff.
We know the Saints aren't really game planning for this Arizona Cardinals team, so we'll get a little bit of insight on the Cards when we get back from the break, talking to Locked On Cardinals host Alex Clancy. Find out who's been standing out over at Cardinals training camp and what we can expect from this AZ team in tomorrow night's game right here on WWL 7 o'clock tip-off. Stay tuned for that interview right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Earlier in the show, we talked to Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister, who's made his way already out in Arizona. Well, now joining us from the Locked On Cardinals podcast out in AZ is Alex Clancy. Thanks so much for the time. How's it going, Alex?
Doing well. Thanks for having me again, guys.
Definitely appreciate the time. And I think one of the big interesting things for the Cardinals going into this preseason that everybody is looking for is kind of like with the Saints is what's going on with the QB2 position, which is kind of funny to think about. But how have things been going between Clayton Toon and Desmond Ridder so far in training camp, and what can we expect tomorrow?
You guys have clear look on what Desmond Ridder was a couple years.
For sure.
And it ain't gotten better. all joking aside, like, Clayton Toon has been in this offense for a full year before this camp. Desmond Ridder was traded, a couple months ago. I still think that Clayton Toon seems to have the stranglehold on the QB2 position right now. Having said that, with Drew Petzing's offense being so run-friendly, Josh Dobbs ran this offense last year. Okay, so if that's the case, if Desmond Ridder needs to be sprung into action at some point in 2024, I think he has the unique skill set to be able to maximize his potential in this offense outside of what he was doing in Atlanta.
So reports are early on, Alex, that Marvin Harrison Jr., the number 4 pick in the 2024 draft, Jonathan Gannon said that he will play tomorrow night against the Saints. What kind of snap count do you think we can expect from the very highly talented receiver from Ohio State?
Yeah, that's a great question. So with Kyler Murray not playing, obviously not playing the entire preseason, it's interesting, right? It's like, what do you aim to see from Marvin Harrison Jr.? Just running a couple routes, seeing actual game action with this offense for the first time. I would expect maybe a series or two. I think they're treating him as, a veteran starter at this point, as pertaining to preseason, at least early on. I couldn't imagine much more than that.
Making way through the, offensive depth chart here. Not expecting running back James Conner, I think, to see any action. What's been the take on rookie Trey Benson so far through training camp?
He's had a slow start. It's not uncommon, brand new offense. There's not necessarily pressure on him to produce, but the RB2 role is open for the taking. Now they've got 38 running backs for that one role with Amari DiMercato and Michael Carter, et cetera. But the way I approach camp, especially with rookies, is as long as you're not saying, oh no, what have we done? It's fine. That's what you need to avoid in camp, and obviously injuries. He's been fine. It'll take him a little while longer to get his sea legs, but I think that we'll see him pop, hopefully, you know, in the second preseason game and the third.
Gotcha. And looking at the second first-round pick as well, Darius Robinson, the defensive lineman from Missouri, taken later in the first round. But what are kind of the expectations for him in this first game? Obviously, you know, the Cardinals, Mike Hollis, the voice of the Saints, came on with us the other night and talked with us about it. The Cardinals taking 12 draft picks in 2024. I mean, there is a lot of young talent on this team that is going to get their first kind of game action.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, especially with Bijah Ojulari out now and tearing his ACL. Darius Robinson is going to have an increased expectation, but still on a rookie scale. So when you look at it from week one, I would assume not necessarily like the bubble wrap that I would assume they're going to put around Marvin Harrison Jr., not to that level, but I think you'll see him play more. I mean, he may play the first half because he's going to need to play big boy snaps from the get-go. Their pass rush doesn't exist, didn't last year. Like, I think the second half of the season last year, they didn't have a sack. So it's something that sky's the limit for him, and I think that, you know, the last thing you want to do is run him too hard in a, you know, in the first preseason game and cause some sort of injury or something. But I would assume around a half. I mean, if I'm throwing something at a wall.
Alex, when you're looking at this team too going into this game, what are some of one or two guys maybe for you that might be a name that Saints fans aren't familiar with on this team? It could be a rookie or someone just overall that you're just not a huge hype name on this squad that could be a standout in this preseason matchup.
They're all on the defense. As you mentioned, they had 12 draft picks, a lot of which were geared towards the secondary. Max Melton, second-round pick out of Rutgers. The Cardinals traded back from their second-round pick, about eight spots, I believe, and four corners went before this guy. And I think Monty Asenfort knew the guy he wanted to take with, you know, the skill set Jonathan Gannon and Nick Rowles need for this defense. He hits hard. He has CB1 potential. We'll see his first game action tomorrow. So that's one. Dadrian Taylor-Demerson is safety. He's backing up Jalen Thompson currently. And he was a mid-round pick that people are very high on. I was looked at as a steal around draft time. He's a ball hawk. He's a prototypical new-age safety that we're used to. He's not necessarily Tyrann Mathieu like you guys are used to, obviously, down there, but he's a big guy. He hits hard, and I think those are two to keep an eye out for. And
he's nicknamed, you know, the Rabbit, right?
Yeah, I was about to say Rabbit. Yep. That's awesome. But nickname, I mean, Rabbit. Someone that you know we talked about actually in the pre-draft process, Alex, was Dadrian Taylor-Demerson, and I mean, he just falls out of the top 100 picks, goes in the fourth round to the Cardinals, and as you mentioned, kind of seen as a steal. But how has he kind of looked at camp early on?
Comfortable.
Okay.
Again, no, and you know it's tough because it's like, well, you know what? He defended three passes on Tuesday. It's like, how do you qualify that or quantify it for what's going to translate, you know, into real game action, you know, even in the preseason? He looks comfortable. And he is in one of the best positions, if not the best position, for any rookie on the Arizona Cardinals roster, having the tutelage of Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson, two of the more unsung duos from the safety position across the league, because the Cardinals defense has been kind of putrid and had a bunch of holes for the last handful of years, so they don't get the credit they deserve. He's going to be a good pro, and I think that right away he's come in that way. He's poised, he's ready to rock, and we'll see if he can get some action tomorrow.
You look at this team, obviously last year record doesn't indicate how hard this team played at 4-13, but we're pretty high here, at least on what Jonathan Gannon was able to accomplish year one. What are the thoughts about the fan base and just going forward with this team overall? How's the fan base, I guess, feeling about Gannon going into year two with this squad?
Oh, fan base is juiced, man. I mean, coming from Steve Kime and Cliff Kingsbury, GM who shouldn't have had his job for the last 5 years and a head coach who never should have got hired, to this, it's something that, oddly enough, one thing that fans are struggling with now is positivity. It's like, wait, fans here have like Stockholm syndrome to losing and dysfunctionality. And now with this bright, fresh air of, oh, Monty Asenfort, oh, he's not spending money, spending $100 million on a player that doesn't need it, or he's not trading a first-round pick for a wide receiver when you need a center or left tackle or corner like Steve Kime did. It's a beautiful thing to witness Cardinals fans being really excited about a season where if they win 7 games, it's going to be looked at as a success. I mean, it's 75% uptick from last year. So all good things. good things here about JG and Monty Austin Ford.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction, and specifically with Jonathan Gannon. It's just I specifically remember, Alex, when we were talking about, you know, first-year head coaches in this past season, and obviously D'Amico Ryan's got a ton of accolades, and deservedly so for what he did with the Texans in year one. But it's Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon, the former OC and DC, respectively, of the Philadelphia Eagles that went on to coach, you know, the Colts and then the Cardinals. I thought both of them were excellent. And we had people saying, oh, the Cardinals went 4-13, but I mean, they just didn't have the talent. And just what you saw, for as hard as they were playing under first-year head coach Jonathan Gannon, you can obviously see the future is bright and that they got the right guy in the building.
Yeah, that's the right call. I mean, just look at Philly right now. Their heart's gone.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon. I think it would lean more towards Jonathan Gannon because they prided themselves so much on defense. What he's done seemingly overnight, while given crap for his "are you on the bus" and the heart and all that stuff, the clip out of one of the team activities, like, he's been slow and steady, building trust. He and Kyler Murray are inseparable. Like, this is how a comfortable relationship looks like. It just looks effortless. And I think you guys would attest to this. Like, you know, when you see a coordinator standing on the sidelines as a coordinator, you're like, oh, that's a head coach. D'Amico Ryan's looked like a head coach for 3 years. And then it's like, well, Jonathan Gannon, first preseason game last year, standing on the sideline, yep, he's meant for this job. And it's just little nuances like that where, you know, Cliff Kingsbury used to bring out food carts and give players cell phone breaks during meetings. It's like, it's just, it's not militaristic, but it's also not a PE coach coaching the Cardinals.
I know you mentioned Kyler Murray a little there. Has his, I guess, attitude or outlook of things changed a bit? Because, yeah, there's always the knock of him playing video games. I know he's not going to see any preseason action, though, right?
Yeah. And I think at this point, because he played those last handful of games last year, he knows the offense. He had the skill position players out before camp, and they've done the reps. He's done the work. Kyler Murray he got it. He gets it now. And the biggest thing for him, which is so, because you mentioned the video games, so counterintuitive to normal thought, when he started pumping out stuff on social media about him and his life and charity and things like that, being around fans and working out, that gave people a look into something. He was a complete mystery. Nobody knew who he was. And all he did his entire life was step on the football field and be the best player and win, and that was it. He never really had to do that grunt work to be, and then he realized after he tore his ACL that he's not untouchable. And I think Jonathan Gannon and Monty Osford have done a fantastic job, like, giving him a safe space to grow and learn and mature as an NFL quarterback. So I think this is the year where you're going to see a new Kyler Murray, and there's no backsliding from this. This is him from here on out.
Going back to the defensive side of the ball here, I mean, as you mentioned, Alex, B.J. Ojulari getting hurt, not anticipating Zaven Collins to get any kind of snaps during the preseason either. What kind of linebackers do you expect the Cardinals to run out there?
I mean, you know, you may see some Mac Wilson Jr. I'm not sure if you'll see Dennis Gardeck, who's a rotational piece. That's kind of one of the biggest. They just released a linebacker that they signed 2 days ago. You know, that's going to be the biggest question mark. And I think that how Jonathan Gannon can mask that, because he's got one of the silliest defenses. They don't even have a base, really. I mean, it's just like what he said at his introductory press conference. He's like, yeah, we're going to look and see what the offense is running, and we'll have a defense ready for it. And it's just it's the linebacker room is one of the weakest ones depth-wise. But with Kazir White, when he starts to play, you know, in week one of the regular season, you're going to have your anchor there. It'll be interesting to see. There's going to be a lot of open spots for linebackers going into week one, and it's going to start tomorrow. But there's not, you know, this is something that I've struggled with talking about this team, is there is really not a lot of talent aside from a handful of guys and a lot of unknowns with a bunch of rookies. So it's really hard to place what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow, let alone week one.
One spot that it's not a question mark is a tight end with Trey McBride, and anyone that plays fantasy football knows who he is. He was an absolute stud this past year. I think he had the right tight end in the building, someone that's developed and made a huge jump from year one to two. But obviously, we're not anticipating him to play tomorrow night really either. So what kind of things can Saints fans expect from this Cardinals tight end room outside of Trey McBride?
I think it's going to be some Tip Raymond, third-round pick out of Illinois. So when you take Trey McBride off the field, you don't really have a lot of pass catch ability. They've got some depth with some guys who can catch the passes and have. But it'll be interesting to see how they use Tip Raymond, because he's traditionally a blocking tight end. But what rumblings I've heard, you know, on social media and at camp is he's going to be kind of a surprise this year, and they may use him more in the pass game than expected. I mean, put it this way. You're not going to draft him where the Cardinals drafted him if they don't expect to utilize him in more than just a blocking sense. So he's the name that I would look out for tomorrow.
Definitely appreciate the time, Alex. For our Saints radio crew that's going to be out there tomorrow, you got any food recommendations for out in Arizona around the Phoenix area?
Yeah, we'll have to pass it along.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So first off, Scottsdale is where you want to be. The stadium is about 30 minutes away from that. There's Diego Pops, which is a great Mexican restaurant. There's a Culinary Dropout, which is like a gastropub with great food and drinks. What else have we got here? Chompies, if you like a good Jewish jelly, some of the best pastrami sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
Okay.
And, I think that's good. And then there's the stadium. I'm not sure if it's rolled out yet, but the Cardinals during the regular season will have a cotton candy burrito. So I'm not sure if that's going to be rolled out yet, but check that out on social media. It's just, that's 50-pound gain waiting to happen.
Yeah, I'm taking notes to send to our sideline reporter here in just a little bit. But cotton candy burrito is an interesting cap.
I was
going to
say, obviously in New Orleans, we're concerned about the food.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Of course.
Awesome time, Alex. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys.
For all things Arizona Cardinals, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Cards podcast on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Kickoff, 7 o'clock tomorrow. Charlie and I are back, 3 o'clock for First Take, and then it's the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We'll be back with more sports talk after this, taking a break. Want to hear from you on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. Coming right back after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, getting a little bit of a look at the NFL preseason scoreboard. We got the game just underway between Baltimore and Philadelphia. That is scoreless. Meanwhile, Atlanta, Miami tied up at 3-3. They are at 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Meanwhile, in the second quarter already, we got Houston at Pittsburgh. And what do you know? That man at it again with Tank Dell getting a touchdown pass from C.J. Stroud, just like we saw during the regular season. I know I hate people that have the, oh, I root for this team, but I also have another team that I kind of like. But, man, oh, man, it's really hard not to pull for those Texans.
I'm surprised that they had C.J. playing any snaps in the preseason. Just bubble wrap him. Let him sit.
I guess you want to get a little bit of reps to, you know, get the juices flowing. Two for four with that touchdown pass. His day's done already. So I think you can't be too careful with guys. I mean, it is football after all, and these guys, I think those live action reps you talk about when the lights are on, they're so important.
That's fair. And for those interested in Michael Penix Jr.'s debut with the Atlanta Falcons in the preseason, he is 5-9 with 81 yards at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in the red zone, and it's because of an interception by Miami. So it set them up with great field position, starting a drive at the 16-yard line, Steve.
Man, I'm looking just at the stats. Atlanta's receiving core. I'm like, who? You got
no
Chris
Drake
Blair,
London there.
Casey, Chris Blair from the LSU Tigers, voice of the Tigers.
Yeah, right. Playing. Right.
You got Casey Washington,
41-yard ball.
Casey Washington, and then a Carlos Washington Jr. That's not confusing.
No, not at all.
But yeah, definitely names I'm not familiar with. Obviously, no Bijan in action. No Drake London.
No Kyle Pitts.
Right. So
they just lost Rondell Moore.
Oh,
yes,
right.
Rondell
exactly.
Moore did suffer that major injury. He's out for the season.
Looking at our Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line, it's 504-260-1870. Going to lead things off with James and Nola. What you got for us on this Friday, James?
Guys, I can't let this go. Drew just co-signed on what I've been saying for the past 3 years or whatever about Taysom. But I'm going to leave that alone for now. listen, there's actually an article about a potential trade involving the Giants, Bears, and the Saints, or us rather, and I don't want to go too deep in all the minutia, but basically we have a fifth-round pick for a guy that the Bears, he's Larry Borum. He's played every position except center. Now, here it is. This kid's been with the team for 3 years. He was drafted in the fifth round. He had over 1,000 snaps at right tackle, 495 at left tackle, 42 at left guard, 20 at right tackle. PFF said he only had gave up 13 sacks in 3 years, 46 hurries, 12 quarterback sacks in 3 years, and 904 pass blocks. Only for we would need that. Listen, you know, Penning and Young, they can't sniff tackle position. Maybe kick them inside, but if we want to win, you can't have that. And also,
and you're saying just for a fifth round pick?
Because they're cheap. He's gonna cost them $3 million. They got they picked up a veteran for $1 million, and they drafted two guys in this past draft, or drafted a guy. So he's gonna be a cut. Now here's the thing about the cuts this year: they're letting everybody go at one swoop, like, you know. So you might be able to snatch him then, but why not get him now? Because, you know, I mean, let's be honest. It ain't happening with Penning, and it's not happening with Young either. Neither one of them. I mean, unless you kick him inside. And then also, what Drew didn't say is that he's been Sean has convinced him to work with the rookie, the quarterback. I would love for Sean. I would love for Drew to work with Haina. I mean, that's what I liked about Haina when we drafted him, because he looked up to Drew. That'd be nice. But yeah, listen. I think you guys could agree. You're closer to the camp than I am right now, unfortunately. But that kid can't play right tackle, and neither can Young. We need to get some guys.
The mix. The reviews have been up and down. We've heard it hasn't been all terrible.
Another
from
thing
Penning.
About with basically from the depth chart early on is that you're talking about Landon Young is currently the backup to Fuaga on the left side. So right now, the backup right tackle is Oli Udo, who is that free agent that they picked up in the offseason. And we'll see what happens there. As we kind of mentioned, James, earlier on in the show, if Trevor Penning does not work out at right tackle, they're not going to play him. They're going to put in one of the backups. They're going to put in Oli Udo, or they're going to make a move to go get a new offensive lineman. They hope he works out, but if he doesn't, then he doesn't. And once again, there have been negatives from camp. We've talked about them already on the show. But it's also been ups and downs, kind of like you mentioned, Steve. And you just need to see more consistency from Penning. And consistency specifically in pass reps, pass pro reps. Because when DA was evaluating how Penning has looked through, you know, 13 practices at this point, he talked about and highlighted the run blocking. And he said that looks solid, that's improved. But if the pass pro hasn't improved, Derek Carr is getting crushed from the right side of the offensive line, you're going to have to make a change.
See, that's why for me, I want to see Trevor Penning in these preseason action. I know it's concerns of, do we put him out there if the first team's only out there, you know, getting action with that group. But I want to see Penning no matter what, just because his growth has been stunted so much just because of injuries.
Right.
And for the fact last year, for whatever reason, they just weren't willing to even put him out there with all the injuries we had along the offensive line.
He was buried behind Tommy Kramer on the depth chart last year, which is just terrible.
And
so,
you keep hearing trying to build this confidence. I need live game reps.
Correct. And the fresh start at right tackle. That's what we had heard as well. So, yeah, give him that fresh start. And it's been up and down. It's been a roller coaster ride like it's been with Trevor Penning for most of his career at training camp. But if it works out and he starts getting those live reps and he looks good, then, you know, it kind of solidifies his position.
I understand the doubt. I understand the frustration, but you still can't give up on the guy
yet. There's still battles at camp, though, and throughout the preseason that have to be decided. Once again, Trevor Penning's penciled in, but if he doesn't perform, I mean, what else can you do?
In ink, we got to take a break. Coming back with more sports talk right after this on WWL. Oh, yeah, we second line in the studio right now, getting ready for game day. It's just preseason action, but it just feels good to be talking Saints football. 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night right here on WWL. Charlie and I will be back for First Take at 3 o'clock. The Cajun Cannon with the countdown to kickoff at 5. And then, of course, our post-game coverage will be going till 1 a.m. Wall-to-wall Saints coverage is back for you right here on WWL Saints Radio, your home for the black and gold. Guys, I'm curious for you, when all is said and done in tomorrow night's game, who is someone that you think we're going to be talking about the most? Charlie, what do you think?
Steve, I'm going back to last year, and the guy that shined in the preseason debut in 2023 in his Saints debut was A.T. Perry.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that's kind of flown a little bit under the radar because Cedric Wilson Jr. is seemingly taking that wide receiver three spot, But A.T. Perry seems like a gamer, man. I mean, I remember that game last year. He had 6 receptions for 70 yards and a 29-yard touchdown in that game as well. So, you know, maybe A.T. can kind of have another really strong preseason debut in 2024 and get us all talking about him again. If not A.T., my secondary little option was going to be Jordan Mims that Bobby keeps talking about over and
That's
over
a great one, yeah.
So, the running back. So, either wide receiver or running back, the position players I'm looking at.
Cullen, what you got for us?
That is verbatim what I was about to say. I was verbatim going to say, Steve, I hope I'm not taking yours, but Mims. And then more expansively, more looking out at the full plate, Kubiak's offense. I know we might not see the first stringers, but we'll see an idea of what it's going to be like. It could be more crude and more janky with the second stringers, the third stringers, the guys who won't be starting possibly. But come on, we have to get a snippet, a beta, a test run to see what it looks like.
For me, I'm going with Jake Haener, not Spencer Rattler, just because I think Haener's got something to prove. Obviously, he feels that, you know, that heat coming on him, and all the Saints fans obviously so excited about Spencer Rattler joining this team. You're forgetting about the young and Jake Haener. Obviously, had a bit of a downturn last year dealing with the PEDs, but I think coming back this year, also dealing with that cancer scare on his face, just has really something to prove. Looking forward to tomorrow, Charlie. Be talking to you then.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Cullen. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you. Who Dads be talking tomorrow on First Take. Have a great night. Back here on Sports Look, getting a little bit of a look at the NFL preseason scoreboard. We got the game just underway between Baltimore and Philadelphia. That is scoreless. Meanwhile, Atlanta, Miami tied up at 3-3. They are at 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Meanwhile, in the second quarter already, we got Houston at Pittsburgh. And what do you know? That man at it again. With Tank Dell getting a touchdown pass from C.J. Stroud, just like we saw during the regular season. I know I hate people that have the, oh, I root for this team, but I also have another team that I kind of like. But, man, oh, man, it's really hard not to pull for those Texans.
I'm surprised that they had C.J. playing any snaps in the preseason. Just bubble wrap him. Let him sit.
I guess you want to get a little bit of reps to, you know, get the juices flowing. And yet, 2 for 4 with that touchdown pass. His day's done already. So I think you can't be too careful with guys. I mean, it is football after all, and these guys, I think those live action reps you talk about when the lights are on, they're so important.
That's fair. And for those interested in Michael Penix Jr.'s debut with the Atlanta Falcons in the preseason, he is 5-9 with 81 yards at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in the red zone, and it's because of an interception by Miami. So it set them up with great field position, starting a drive at the 16-yard line, Steve.
Man, I'm looking just at the stats. Atlanta's receiving core. I'm like, who? You got
no
Chris
Drake
Blair,
London there.
Casey, Chris Blair from the LSU Tigers, voice of the Tigers.
Yeah, right.
Playing.
Right.
You got Casey Washington.
Caught a 41-yard ball.
Casey Washington, and then a Carlos Washington Jr. That's not confusing.
No, not at all.
But yeah, definitely names I'm not familiar with. Obviously, no Bijan in action. No Drake London.
No Kyle Pitts.
Right. So
they just lost Rondell Moore.
Oh,
yes,
right.
Rondell
exactly.
Moore didn't suffer that major injury. He's out for the season.
Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, it's 504-260-1870. Going to lead things off with James and Nola. What you got for us on this Friday, James?
Guys, I can't let this go. Drew just co-signed on what I've been saying for the past 3 years or whatever about Taysom. But I'm going to leave that alone for now. listen, there's actually an article about a potential trade involving the Giants, Bears, and the Saints, or us rather, and I don't want to go too deep into all the minutia, but basically we have a fifth-round pick for a guy that the Bears, he's Larry Borum. He's played every position except center. Now, here it is. This kid's been with the team for 3 years. He was drafted in the fifth round. He had over 1,000 snaps at right tackle, 495 at left tackle, 42 at left guard, 20 at right tackle. PFF said he only gave up 13 sacks in 3 years, 46 hurries, 12 quarterback sacks in 3 years, and 904 pass blocks. Only for we would need that. Listen, Penning and Young, they can't sniff tackle position. Maybe kick him inside, but if we want to win, you can't have that. And also,
and you're saying just for a fifth round pick?
So, yeah, but because they're cheap. He cost them $3 million. They picked up a veteran for $1 million, and they drafted two guys in this past draft, or drafted a guy. So he's going to be a cut. Now here's the thing about the cuts this year. They're letting everybody go at one swoop, like, you know, so you might be able to snatch him then, but why not get him now? Because, you know, I mean, let's be honest, it ain't happening with Penny, and it's not happening with Young either. Neither one of them. I mean, unless you kick him inside. And then also, what Drew didn't say is that he's been Sean has convinced him to work with the rookie, the quarterback. I would love for Sean. I would love for Drew to work with Haina. I mean, that's what I liked about Haina when we drafted him, because he looked up to Drew. That'd be nice. But yeah, listen, I think you guys could agree. You're closer to the camp than I am right now, unfortunately. But that kid can't play right tackle, and neither can Young. We need to get some guys.
The mix. The reviews have been up and down. We've heard it hasn't been all terrible.
Another
from
thing
Penning.
About with basically from the depth chart early on is that you're talking about Landon Young is currently the backup to Fuaga on the left side. So right now the backup right tackle is Oli Udoh, who is that free agent that they picked up in the offseason. And we'll see what happens there. As we kind of mentioned, James, earlier on in the show, if Trevor Penning does not work out at right tackle, they're not going to play him. They're going to put in one of the backups. They're going to put in Oli Udoh, or they're going to make a move to go get a new offensive lineman. They hope he works out, but if he doesn't, then he doesn't. And once again, there have been negatives from camp. We've talked about them already on the show. But it's also been ups and downs, kind of like you mentioned, Steve. And you just need to see more consistency from Penning. And consistency specifically in pass reps, pass pro reps. Because when DA was evaluating how Penning has looked through, you know, 13 practices at this point, he talked about and highlighted the run blocking. And he said that looks solid, that's improved. But if the pass pro hasn't improved, and Derek Carr is getting crushed from the right side of the offensive line, you're going to have to make a change.
See, that's why for me, I want to see Trevor Penning in these preseason action. I know it's concerns of, do we put him out there if the first team's only out there, you know, getting action with that group. But I want to see Penning no matter what, just because his growth has been stunted so much just because of injuries.
Right.
And for the fact last year, for whatever reason, they just weren't willing to even put him out there with all the injuries we had along the offensive line.
He was buried behind Tommy Kramer on the depth chart last year, which is just terrible.
And
so,
you keep hearing trying to build this confidence. I need live game reps.
Correct. And the fresh start at right tackle. That's what we had heard as well. So, yeah, give him that fresh start. And it's been up and down. It's been a roller coaster ride like it's been with Trevor Penning for most of his career at training camp. But if it works out and he starts getting those live reps and he looks good, then, you know, it kind of solidifies his position.
I understand the doubt. I understand the frustration, but you still can't give up on the guy
yet. There's still battles at camp, though, and throughout the preseason that have to be decided. Once again, Trevor Penning's penciled in, but if he doesn't perform, I mean, what else can you do?
In ink, we got to take a break. Coming back with more sports talk right after this on WWL. Oh, yeah, we second line in the studio right now, getting ready for game day. It's just preseason action, but it just feels good to be talking Saints football. 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night right here on WWL. Charlie and I will be back for First Take at 3 o'clock. The Cajun Cannon with the countdown to kickoff at 5. And then, of course, our post-game coverage will be going till 1 a.m. Wall-to-wall Saints coverage is back for you right here on WWL Saints Radio, your home for the black and gold. Guys, I'm curious for you, when all is said and done in tomorrow night's game, who is someone that you think we're going to be talking about the most? Charlie, what do you think?
Steve, I'm going back to last year, and the guy that shined in the preseason debut in 2023 in his Saints debut was A.T. Perry.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that's kind of flown a little bit under the radar because Cedric Wilson Jr. is seemingly taking that wide receiver 3 spot, but A.T. Perry seems like a gamer, man. I mean, I remember that game last year. He had 6 receptions for 70 yards and a 29-yard touchdown in that game as well. So, you know, maybe A.T. can kind of have another really strong preseason debut in 2024 and get us all talking about him again. If not A.T., my secondary little option was going to be Jordan Mims that Bobby keeps talking about over
that's
and over
a great one, yeah.
So, the running back. So, either wide receiver or running back, position players I'm looking at.
Cullen, what you got for us?
That is verbatim what I was about to say. I was verbatim going to say, Steve, I hope I'm not taking yours, but Mims. And then more expansively, more looking out at the full plate, Kubiak's offense. I know we might not see the first stringers, But we'll see an idea of what it's going to be like. It could be more crude and more janky with the second stringers, the third stringers, the guys who won't be starting possibly. But come on, we have to get a snippet, a beta, a test run to see what it looks like.
For me, I'm going with Jake Haener, not Spencer Rattler, okay. Just because I think Haener's got something to prove. Obviously, he feels that, you know, that heat coming on him, and all the Saints fans obviously so excited about Spencer Rattler joining this team. You're forgetting about the young and Jake Haener. Obviously had a bit of a downturn last year dealing with the PEDs, but I think coming back this year, also dealing with that cancer scare on his face, just has really something to prove. Looking forward to tomorrow, Charlie. Be talking to you then.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Cullen. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Who Dads. Be talking tomorrow on First Take. Have a great night. Oh, yeah. We second line in the studio right now, getting ready for game day. It's just preseason action, but it just feels good to be talking Saints football. 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night right here on WWL. Charlie and I will be back for First Take at 3 o'clock. The Cajun Cannon with the countdown to kickoff at 5. And then, of course, our post-game coverage will be going till 1 a.m. Wall-to-wall Saints coverage is back for you right here on WWL Saints Radio, your home for the black and gold. Guys, I'm curious for you, when all is said and done in tomorrow night's game, who is someone that you think we're going to be talking about the most? Charlie, what do you think?
Steve, I'm going back to last year, and the guy that shined in the preseason debut in 2023 in his Saints debut was A.T. Perry.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that's kind of flown a little bit under the radar because Cedric Wilson Jr. is seemingly taking that wide receiver three spot, but A.T. Perry seems like a gamer, man. I mean, I remember that game last year. He had 6 receptions for 70 yards and a 29-yard touchdown in that game as well. So, you know, maybe A.T. can kind of have another really strong preseason debut in 2024 and get us all talking about him again. If not A.T., my secondary little option was going to be Jordan Mims, that Bobby keeps talking about over
that's
and over
a great
and
over one, yeah.
So, the running back. So, either wide receiver or running back, the position players I'm looking at.
Cullen, what you got for us?
That is verbatim what I was about to say. I was verbatim going to say, Steve, I hope I'm not taking yours, but Mims. And then more expansively, more looking out at the full plate, Kubiak's offense. I know we might not see the first stringers, but we'll see an idea of what it's going to be like. It could be more crude and more janky with the second stringers, the third stringers, the guys who won't be starting possibly, but come on, we have to get a snippet, a beta, a test run to see what it looks like.
For me, I'm going with Jake Haener, not Spencer Rattler, okay. Just because I think Haener's got something to prove. Obviously, he feels that, you know, that heat coming on him, and all the Saints fans obviously so excited about Spencer Rattler joining this team. You're forgetting about the young and Jake Haener. Obviously had a bit of a downturn last year dealing with the PEDs, but I think coming back this year, also dealing with that cancer scare on his face, just has really something to prove. Looking forward to tomorrow, Charlie. Be talking to you then.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Cullen. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Who Dads. Be talking tomorrow on First Take. Have a great night.